This is riveting podcasting, by the way, but I don't care. I'm really into it.
You want to know how I fuck my wife?
If you start telling me that you eat people in your spare time, that would make as much sense as what's going on right now.
Hold on, I have to get in Australian mode.
Hello and welcome. We are back. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. I am once again your host, Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining the show. Episode 116, coming to you direct from Southern California, where we're in a bit of a heat wave. So the studios to the Baller Lifestyle headquarters, took me a minute, the studio to the Baller Lifestyle headquarters, we got the doors open. So you may hear some birds chirping, some noise, because it is quite warm here where we make the magic that is the Baller Lifestyle. As always, I reach out to you. You may have noticed, well, maybe you didn't, the email, we had some issues with our hosting this week, mostly mine, because I'm not like one of these nerds that knows how to do stuff on the internet. But the site's fine, but the email was down for a couple days. So if you weren't able to get through to me, to us, with your life coaching questions, with your questions and comments on the show, you could do that now. You could reach out to us at mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. The voicemail line works fine. So if you feel you're up to that, if you feel like that's a little higher degree of difficulty to do, but if you feel like you can do it, I want you to try. And you just dial your phone, old school, 949-464-TBLS, and just leave us a message there. As always, a lot of stuff going on Facebook, where we post stories and things we see on the internet that we may not discuss here on the show. So you should really follow us there, the Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. And of course, subscribe to the show on iTunes. Please rate us, give us 5 stars, everything that you can do there. Joining me now, as always, Hoboken's own Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well. Buddy just sent me this about an hour ago. I gotta applaud the state of Illinois. They are fining people who leave cigarette butts, litter cigarette butts, $1,500.
That's great.
Because I never got that. It's not like they disintegrate. People just like drop a smoke, stomp on it, sometimes don't even stomp on it, and just keep walking.
Like, it's the one thing that like, it's totally okay to litter. You're littering.
Someone has to clean that up.
A piece of fiberglass on the ground.
Yeah.
A burnt piece of fiberglass you just threw on the ground, and it's going to go in the fucking ocean.
Yeah. It's going to poison the water supply. There's a lot of things that can go wrong, but or if it's just an eyesore. I mean, fuck that. Yes. It's the most selfish move. People just drop it like it's no big deal. So
smokers, figure it, put it in your pocket. Yeah,
I don't care if it sets your pants on fire. That's not my problem.
Not my issue. I was recently at Disneyland, Ed, and I came out of the restroom and I was like, what is that? I smell something. And it was like, I wasn't used to it. I was like, wait, somebody's fucking smoking. I'm like, you cannot do that here. And I looked around and it was some like foreign, some woman speaking Spanish. And she was talking on the phone at the same time and just puffing a dirt stick. And she just flung it. The Disney cops didn't get to her in time. She smoked it too quick and she flung it on the ground and stomped on it. And I had to do a double take because yes, there was a time that was allowed places, but these days you are not allowed to smoke anywhere. So it was very shocking.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
So two things happened to me that were very awkward. One, I was getting my hair cut last week. And I mean, you know me. I don't like the chit chat. But this guy wanted to mix it up.
Oh yeah.
And he's asking me about my weekend or something. Hey, you going partying? I was like, well, it's my wife's birthday. And he goes, how long have you been married? I was like, 15 years. And he goes, oh wow, how do you keep things interesting? And I was like, you know, kind of laugh it off, like, what, you know, where am I going with this? He goes, no, seriously, how do you keep it interesting? I was like, do you want to know how I fuck my wife? Like,
Hey, buddy. This is very intrusive.
Yeah, you know, I like to make her wear a Richard Nixon mask before we get into bed. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, this is... I don't know. We just, you know, we continue on with our lives and things happen. But what exactly are you getting at? But he was pressing. I was like, I don't know, buddy. We're not tight, and I'm not that tight with anyone on earth to talk about this kind of thing. Like, that's not a conversation I want to have.
Even your closest friends don't want to know that.
Yeah, why would you talk about that? But the most awkward moment of the week, this weekend, I was on a train, and there was a woman who is just smacking the shit out of her kid.
Oh, no.
And I was so uncomfortable, but, and this shouldn't matter, but she had, you know, she was wearing clothes that would indicate she's very Puerto Rican. Like, she had the fingernails painted with the Puerto Rican flag, and...
The really tight, like the pajama jeans.
Yes.
Like the really tight, yeah.
And like, I'm
belly
sorry.
Shirt.
I felt awful for this kid, but there was no way I was going to challenge a Puerto Rican woman on a train.
Well, it's unfortunate.
She had long nails. Like, that, they would be coming after me. But, you know, like, I just was thinking, like, this poor little girl, and she was like, swinging back at her mom after she was getting whacked. She was in a stroller, and I was thinking, like, she doesn't have a chance. She will grow up to be a monster. But it's so uncomfortable. What the fuck are you supposed to do?
I know. It's, you know, that happened to me recently. Fancy Sauce and I, you know how instead of watching the NFL League Championship games, I go antiquing?
Yeah.
Well, we were at the Long Beach Flea Market, which is one of our primary antiquing spots that we go to. And it's only once a month. You probably know this already. It's the third Sunday of every month. And this was a couple months ago. And I was like walking, and one of the hawkers, one of the stall people, I heard him like kind of yell at his kid in Spanish. And I look over, and this kid was probably like 7, and he was just sitting there, you know, like playing his Game Boy or whatever while his dad sold t-shirts or whatever. And he just fucking bombed on his kid, like open hand smack, like kind of on the arm and chest at the same time, like 3 hard ones right in a row. And I just kind of looked at him and I was like, whoa, that's shocking. And it wasn't like the kid wasn't injured or anything, but it wasn't like not the ideal situation.
But psychologically, that is a fucking hammer.
The thing is, what we've learned in psychology is that you don't want, when your kid loves you more than anything, and then when he becomes scared for his life of you at the same time,
it really fucks
up their psyche. But what I did is I used that to my advantage, because then I told my children, I said, like a week later, I'm like, hey, you should have seen what I saw. And then I recounted the story. And then I'm like, remember, I don't do that to you.
Yeah. I did the same thing. It's such a sad move to try to like curry favor. I said to my son, I go, you see that? I would never do that to you.
Yes, it's true.
And like, I needed to impress my 8-year-old. Like,
And we have to make
it seem...
Your daddy
would never do that to you.
Like, we hold back from doing that, but really we're not capable, because we're human beings on the planet. We're not animals.
Yeah, so I just couldn't...
We wouldn't just bomb on our kid in public.
I know it's a different era, and like, back in the day, it used to get whacked around, but like, this woman was grabbing her like, 1-year-old in a stroller, and like, grabbing her hands and just whacking the shit out of them, and the girl's just... bawling, and she's like, you don't stop crying, I'm gonna hit you again. It's like, the girl's like, one, what is going on?
Right.
And
I
was on a train that was full of people that I wasn't sure would be sympathetic to my point of view, so I just stayed quiet.
I was
a pussy, but you know what,
headphones,
it's a lot of fingernails, and I was not prepared to take them on.
Pretend that you don't notice, and just look out for somebody man spreading, and then shame him.
Yeah, right. Some fucking white guy wants to get involved. I'm on it.
Yes, exactly. I should say our dear friends. We have lots and lots of listeners in Houston, and Houston was just destroyed. Not destroyed, but There was flash flooding throughout Houston. Many, many people's property was damaged. It just looked like a fucking horrible scene. Cars underwater. Some people died. It was just seemed like just an awful thing. Just freak storm, flash flooding.
You see the video of the reporter who had to save the guy?
Yes.
And what was that guy doing?
He just
like in slow motion.
He drove right into the water.
And then they're like, get out of your car. And he's like, what? Stay in the car? Get out of the car.
He's like, what should I do? And the reporter's like, swim?
Swim?
I was like, yeah, just like walk away. And then like 2 seconds later, the fucking guy's car was completely underwater.
Right, but the guy looked, he seemed off. Something wasn't functioning with that guy.
Yeah, he wasn't, I mean, in moments like that, things can get a little intense. You see what people are made of. And some people, like the reporter, went out and helped that guy. He was made for that moment. The guy that needed the help, he wasn't made for
that. No, he was not.
No. So, hey guys, all our friends in Houston, we're thinking of you guys as you're cleaning up and pumping out your shit and taking care of what you got to take care of. You're in our thoughts. So we appreciate that. Also, guys, I should say last week on the radio, I did my last Friday facts for a while, Ed.
I heard.
Quite possibly forever. It's open-ended or closed-ended, as the case may be. But I may or may not be back. It's I'm not on bad terms with anybody. I'm not suspended. I'm not fired. It's just a situation where it's not going to work for them to have me do the segment for a while. But they're hopefully going to be able to bring me back after the summer. So it is what it is. It's a business thing, but I still like those guys. And I still, like I said, there's no bad blood there, but you're just not going to hear me on the radio on Fridays for a while. And hopefully that's not forever. So I do appreciate everybody that reached out with a tweet or an email, a direct message. Like people really, had a lot of nice things to say to me, and I very much appreciate that, but everything's good. I'm fine. And hopefully I'll be back on Trav's show in August or so. So look for that. Emails. Hey guys. Oh, this is Ed. Mm-hmm. See, people don't realize how hard this is. We're just two guys sitting here thinking and talking. And thinking and talking is a lot harder to do than you think when you're recording yourself and when you know that people are going to listen to what you say.
Right, and you've got a bunch of different things going on at once, like trying to...
You people, when you're just talking in your regular life, you fuck up the shit you say all the time. You just don't realize it. So I got my guy Ed Daly's back in this one. Hey, guys. For the record, the actor who played Laszlo in the classic 80s movie Real Genius was not the guy who played Niedermeyer in Animal House. We realized that right away.
Yeah, less than 60 seconds after we went off the air, I texted Brian and corrected. I was like, oh, I know who I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah, you knew. However, he did play Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite, which I would argue is one of the two or three most overrated movies of all time. And now... back to my Herman Marshall breakfast drink. Cheers, Adam near Sugarland. Well, Adam,
you know what else he was in? He was great as Delroy Lindo's partner in Get Shorty, an underrated 90s movie.
Oh, that's a great movie. That's a fantastic movie.
He's one of the dudes who like tries to shake down Gene Hackman. Like that's a really good movie that I feel like just kind of doesn't get discussed in 90s movies.
James Gandolfini as
Bear. He was Bear.
Yeah.
He was Lindo's he was his like henchman.
Yes. Just a very like quiet, understated role for James Gandolfini. John Travolta, like the guy's a little bit of a clown, but he's a fucking super talented guy. And the great Danny DeVito.
Oh, and what's his name? The ex Dennis Farina, a great, great character actor.
Dennis Farina, he's dead, right?
He's died. A couple years ago. He was a great character actor.
I get him and Chaz Palminteri. So does that mean Chaz Palminteri is still alive?
Yeah, he's not nearly as good as Farina.
He isn't. No, he's a good. But when Dennis Farina died, somehow I got it crossed in my mind that Chaz Palminteri died. So then I was like, oh, they're both dead,
right?
But then I think only one, I only think Dennis Farina.
No, his career is probably
actual dead. Cop.
Yeah, he was a cop. and he got like consulted on some Michael Mann movie in the 80s.
Yeah.
And like, they're like, you know what? You actually just be a great cop in movies.
Yeah. Then he put him in Miami Vice. The guy is fucking awesome. Thoughts and prayers.
One thing I will point out, when I was confusing Niedermeyer, and I think I pointed out to Twitter, to somebody on Twitter, was I was confusing him with Mr. Beckerstedt in One Crazy Summer. That guy who played Niedermeyer played like kind of a shaggy mustached guy.
Right.
And he was
the look.
Yeah. Like it was just a confusing. I remember he was not as clean cut. But yeah, that's where I was confusing. But yeah,
your bona fides with 1980s decade entertainment is you're unsurpassed in your knowledge of that.
And,
it's
yeah, like, and not
a little annoying,
and
actually.
Not to lay it on, but another thing I just noticed, speaking of Laszlo, is, you know, Kent from that movie, who was also Cole in Bachelor Party, like the villain blonde guy.
Yeah, I know Kent.
He has grown up to become like a killer, like a bad guy in movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, you know that George Clooney movie, Michael Clayton?
Yes.
He was like one of the murderers, like one of the like the henchmen for that asexual
Tilda
Swinton. Like he's the blonde haired murder guy, and like he's a villain now. So he was like a squirrely like comedy villain. Now he's just a scary guy because, you know how like older guys with blonde hair are a little bit off putting.
Yeah, a little bit because your hair changes.
Clearly. Yeah, I was very blonde as a boy.
Right, it's hard. Most people with blonde hair as like into their 40s, they're bleaching their hair. Your hair doesn't stay blonde your whole life.
Yeah, this guy's one of them. He seems like a villain.
It's a little off putting. Speaking of that, like real genius. The kid in that movie, the main kid.
Speaking of off-putting.
Yes, he sucked. What was it about 80s movies? Another one that comes to mind, Meatballs. Yeah. What was the kid's name? Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy.
He was awful.
No, there was like, nothing good about him.
Who are these guys that they're casting as the protagonists of these movies in the 1980s?
Kilmer stole the show, partially because it was a cool role, but partially because the other option for the audience to cheer for was dreadful.
Such a sad sack. What's his name? Back to School, Jason.
Oh, yeah. Mellon? Yeah.
Jason Mellon. He was 49 years old, and he was a freshman in college, and he was so morose. He was so bummed out. His dad was all rich and taking care of shit.
Right.
Like, calm down, Jason Mellon. What was with these protagonists in the 80s? They always cast the worst guy.
Well, there was so much cocaine. The casting directors must have been zonked out of their minds.
That's true. They were coked. They're like, we need a villain. They're like, get me Johnny from Karate Kid. We're going to make him the villain and everything.
Right. Every movie.
And then get me some sort of effeminate, like, brat kid.
Yeah.
Some androgynous
kid, this,
and we'll just make
I don't him know if we need a villain. This movie has diving. Make him an evil diver. All right, let's
do it. Yes, of course. We need an evil diver. Give me Johnny. Okay. Ed, what is going on in the world of sports? J.J. Watt, how hard is this guy trying to prove that he's not
homosexual? Yeah, let's talk about a man who's probably wears the hat of someone else's choosing. J.J. Watt. As we all know, Houston went through some crazy flooding Monday, which we just discussed, and Houston's mayor asked that all non-essential personnel stay home. A couple hours after that warning, the keen-eyed bird watcher Watt posted several pictures of himself at Texans facilities on Snapchat. When people called him out on it, J.J. fired back on Twitter, "Stop making stories out of non-stories. A bunch of guys made it to work today, not just me. I'm not retiring. I'm single. Anything else?" So, Brian, I have two questions for you. Is JJ afraid that if he doesn't work out, the Texans will go 8-8 this year instead of 9-7? And two, why is JJ still single? How come he hasn't been able to find the right woman?
That's right. Confirmed bachelor. What? Multiple snap? Like, he went and worked out one day, a day that it was... You know, there's certain, like when a tragedy happens, like Fukushima, or, you know, there was no social media, 9/11.
No.
That was 15 years ago nearly. That's crazy. Yeah. But, you know, when a big like natural disaster happens, like Hurricane Sandy or a tornado or flooding in Houston, You don't want to go around bragging about what a good time you're having.
Yeah, when he said, I wasn't the only person there. Yeah, but you were the only asshole doing close-ups of your biceps.
And he's doing multiple Snapchats of his, like, super buff arm. Like, we get it. You're fucking in good shape. You're 6 feet six, 260 pounds. Like, you're a specimen.
Right.
No one questions that. You can flip that tire a whole bunch of times.
Yeah.
You rap along to Linkin Park and shit. Like, we get what you're about, guy. Maybe you just take it easy for the day. And yeah, we know you, hey, it's your job to be in shape. It's your job to be fit. We know that you're a maniac for that and you can't miss a day. So maybe if you're going to, and I imagine that you have like pretty decent workout setup at your home in Houston where you are. So just like do your workout there. Like don't like brag about that you're out working out when.
And also these warnings where they say, you know, non-essential personnel stay home. It's not just trying to protect you. It's, are you going to, you know, put a cop's life in danger? Because, like, what if DJ Watt, like, drives into one of those puddles that is deeper than you think, and, like, all of a sudden some guy has got to save JJ Watt? So it's like, you know, fuck you.
You're putting other people's lives in danger. But most of all, just tone it down, bud.
Yeah, I'm sure there are lots of ladies that want to stay home with you. Date.
Yes. Yes. Well, so, I mean, didn't we learn last week that he may or may not have gotten a toss with Kate Hudson?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think he rented that beard long enough. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's one I would keep put on the mantle.
Sure.
Like that'd be a win for me. Him might not be such a big deal.
Mm.
Speaking of people doing gay things, what's going on with Seattle Seahawks safety Earl Thomas's wedding?
Well, you know, with weddings, what percentage of the wedding and the ceremony is about the groom? What percentage? If you had to break down the bride versus groom.
Somewhere between 0 and 1%.
Correct. Well, at Earl Thomas's recent wedding, percentage was slightly higher. See, Thomas showed up in a sparkling crown and cape. Now, Brian, let's keep this simple. There's not much more of a story except for he showed up with a crown and cape. Let's get right to it. Two questions. One, why didn't anyone punch Russell Wilson in the face at that wedding?
That's a good point.
Two, is Earl Thomas trying to tell us something?
He also, I saw pictures from this. He also had like, sort of, it's hard to describe, kind of like shoes on with like gold studs all over them, like pointy gold, like almost like a punk rock type of thing from the 70s, like shiny, pointy chrome studs sticking out like not in a pattern, just sticking out all over from his shoes. Like somebody that very much wants you to look
like in. They use scraps from Ziggy Stardust costume and like put it on there.
Yeah, exactly. And then he was wearing a crown, as we discussed, but the crown was like jeweling.
Oh, it was sparkling. As he walked down the aisle, it was sparkling.
It was not like, hey, I'm trying to be, hey, look how silly I am, I'm wearing a crown. No, he's like, I'm going to look badass in this crown. I want a baller ass crown because I'm going to be looking good and I want the best.
In the video, like when they show him walking down the aisle, you're expecting like, snickering and stuff like that. Like everybody was looking at this like this was a normal event.
Yeah. Also, I saw another picture. He must have had 28 groomsmen. All in tuxedos, like lined up. He was in the middle, of course, with his cape on. And the cape was sort of half draped over one shoulder. And he had his whole getup on. And then all looked like mostly teammates.
He's used to being in the company of men.
Right, his groom.
So it was essentially like a team meeting.
He had tons of them,
like 12, 20. 15.
Yes, there was a bunch, which is a little like you get a couple guys to stand up for you. You don't need the whole fucking team there to stand up for you. It does bring to mind because I was for the life of me, I don't recall ever having read about or knowing about any wedding that was planned by the groom. But then I remember Justin Timberlake. I remember reading about his wedding, and he really made himself the star of his wedding. He planned the whole thing. He performed. He picked the location, the outfits. He like did the wedding for himself, and then the reception was like a Justin Timberlake concert. So everyone was there, could watch him perform, and he was real fucking amazing. And that didn't shock me. So Earl Thomas is in the Justin Timberlake category of groom.
For my wedding, I remember just telling the groomsman, I was like, just get a tux. And I'm like, is there a specific style? And I was like, I really don't care. So some guys had vests. And I mean, it was just the most disorganized thing on my end. I was like, just show up in a tux and we're cool.
That's great. I love that. That's perfect. And was the wedding affected in any way?
No, I mean, it was. Of course, it's all about the bride.
Right. Grooms don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Stop.
Make sure she's happy.
Earl Thomas, you're fucking in the NFL. Yes. Like,
right.
Be a goddamn man.
Calm down. Calm down. Just hopefully you got a prenup. Speaking of what's going on in Houston. Mm. While all of our listeners might not be from Texas, you probably know that in Texas, that once you get your house cleaned up, you're going to be able to drink some local spirits. You get all cleaned up, you get everything done, you go, you know what? I'm going to have a drink. And it doesn't matter if it's Tito's vodka, which, when that came to market, everything caught on like wildfire. Well, now there's a Tito's of whiskey gaining some steam in Texas. Of course, I'm talking about Herman Marshall whiskey out of North Texas. The Herman Marshall distillers are taking advantage of the fact that the Texas climate is perfect for producing their brown spirits. Somebody with an agenda reached out to me this week on Twitter. Mm. And they were like, wait, what difference does it make where your whiskey's distilled? Well, it does matter.
Have you tried Herman Marshall? Because it's fucking delicious.
Exactly. It's fantastic. While Ed Daly may hate the heat, Herman Marshall whiskey loves it. The 90 to 100 degree days in Texas increase the barrel pressure to push whiskey in and out of the charred wood barrels more often, making your glass of Texas bourbon smoother and more flavorful. And anybody that's tasted it would tell you that. See for yourself, person on Twitter, and grab a bottle of their Texas bourbon, rye, single malt, or temptress next time you're at a local bar, restaurant, or spirits retailer. Herman Marshall. Smooth Texas whiskey.
Well, Herman Marshall, true to Texas. We're going to play some true falls here.
Okay, let's do it.
The list came out of the top 100 boys' names in America.
Yeah, we were talking about those last week. I think Jaden was up there near the top, which probably made you happy.
I mean, I'm giving you a bunch, so it's going to be harder for you. Okay. I got 8 names. One of them is false. One of them is not in the top 100.
Okay, Ed. It's Ed.
That doesn't make the top 500, I don't think.
Ed's on the list.
That's a huge red flag, that dumb name.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Jackson. Jaxon.
Yeah, that's on there. For sure.
Jace.
One of the top names.
Jace. Jace.
Interesting.
Grayson.
Oh, that's on there.
Easton.
Like
Larry Holmes.
My black magic.
Like Larry Holmes.
Like my black magic bat from high school baseball. My Easton black
Easton
magic.
Easton assassin, Larry Holmes.
Right.
Bentley.
Oh, I happen to know that's on there.
Caden, Kaiden.
Oh, shit.
Caden, Kayden.
That's for sure on there.
And Caden, Kaydin. So that you've got 8 names. One of them does not really appear.
Okay. It's either one of the Cadens. I feel like those would all be lumped together as the same name. I would say it's either one of the Cadens or it's Easton. like my black magic that I did some damage with back in the day. I'm going to say that the false name is Easton. False.
Easton was the 80th most popular boy name. Jackson with an X, 39. Jace, 64. Grayson, 61. Easton, 80. Bentley, 87. Kaden, K-A-I-D-N, 92nd. Kaden, K-A-Y-D-N, 81st. K-A-Y-D-I-N did not appear.
Ah, you son of a bitch.
But two Kadens. Two different spellings of Kaden.
Wow. And times are tough. People are struggling to find work.
Sure.
And people are having to go the extra mile to get those interviews, to book those jobs. And sometimes things get in the way. Take, for instance, Kelsey McMurtry, who was at a job interview herself. Of course, she was interviewing to be a stripper. And the thing that got in the way of that interview was her toddler.
Oh, she
brought with her and left in the car. Mother accused of abandoning toddler inside hot car for strip club audition. By the time, well, it was only like 70 degrees that day, but yeah, inside of the PT Cruiser,
oh.
The vehicle temperature had soared past 100 degrees, and 30 minutes had passed since the mother, Kelsey McMurtry, had left the 9-month-old in the parking lot of a strip club in downtown Nashville. This was Deja Vu Showgirls, which is like, it's a national chain. I've been to a couple different Deja Vu Showgirls over the years. That's a,
right.
It's like a franchise.
It's like you walk in and say, haven't I been here before? Oh, yeah. Hi-oh.
Yeah, it's not much. I feel like I know this place.
This is the laziest joke.
You guys
get
that feeling? Luckily, a passerby. It's always the passerby.
Man, what the fuck is this guy walking by a strip club checking out cars?
Well, you know, he's like called his wife and he's like, look, honey, I'm not normally in that part of town, but you know what it was? I was doing my passing by and I wanted to do different passing by than I normally do. So I was just out taking a walk and just happened to be in this part of town. McMurtry was at Deja Vu Showgirls for an audition. She, and this is what always happens, she had a friend inside the club.
Oh, not a responsible friend.
19-year-old Summer Taylor, who was supposed to be keeping an eye on her child. And Taylor said as much. She said, hey, I've been checking on the little girl. But witnesses told investigators she had been inside the strip club the entire time. Yeah, she probably, somebody wanted to dance in the champagne room. You know how that goes, Ed?
Summer was staring at some cash, and she realized the kid had to take a break.
You go to the back, and if they want one dance, you're going to try to, yeah, hey, that song's over.
That song, keep going? That first song went really fast.
Yeah, like I can keep, you know, shaking my ass here. Well, unfortunately, Ed, both women are now facing charges of child neglect. Based on the picture, I don't need to be spending any time on the Nashville location of Deja Vu Showgirls. Clearly, the talent does not compare to the Las Vegas version, which I've been to.
Mm.
But I will say this, and maybe you can sort this out for me. Ed, did you know that you had to audition to be a stripper?
I was just thinking that. Like, the fact that there's an audition, isn't it sort of the eye test? And then it's like, yeah, just kind of looked sexy naked. Like,
yeah, like, you're pretty cute. Let me see how you look
worst,
naked.
I'm removed. Yeah. I'm a few years removed from my last strip club visit, but
I probably haven't been in a decade.
Yeah, but the people that are auditioning, the people that are like have skills on the pole, those are the most annoying kind of all. Like, I used to hate those, like, super athletic, they're swinging violently on the pole. It was like, hey, come on. I just want to see some naked tits and ass. That's it.
They kind of like wrap their knee around it and they like spin down from
really
the top.
Like athletic. Like I don't care that he had dreams of being a gymnast in the Olympics. Right now you failed. All people want to do is see you naked.
Yeah, exactly right. And you know, the lighting's pretty bad in there. So you don't have to be too cute. Just have a really, really fit body, flat stomach, nice round ass. And some tits.
And
you're good to go.
Yeah.
You're set.
And also, I mean, we kind of knew the 19-year-old named Summer was not going to be your most reliable choice.
No, that was a real gamble. Like, you really rolled the dice on who you wanted to watch your kid inside your PT Cruiser that day, Kelsey.
And Vegas had PT Cruiser took it off the board.
Yeah, that was the vehicle that that was the heavy chalk. Ed, I wonder if you do something for me. We've talked about this a little bit, but maybe you could give us in detail. Why don't you describe your routine? Say you're leaving. I notice this is a time I use public restrooms a lot. You've just finished watching a movie and you're about to head home, walk home to your apartment in Hoboken, and you go, you know what? I'm going to take a piss. For me, please, for our audience, describe your routine when you use a public restroom, Ed.
Try to use as many elbows and feet as possible.
That's right.
Obviously, if there's paper, use that to then hold the door. After you wash your hands, you hold the door with the paper.
That's right.
If there's, and I think I've talked about this, if there's the hand blower,
yeah,
it's annoying because it takes forever to get your hands dry with the hand blower.
It really only gets them like sort of dry. You're still wiping on your jeans.
If I'm honest, I just go right to the jeans. I don't even bother.
Yeah.
And
oh, really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a problem, but I don't know. I usually just go to the jeans, and I hate the fact that when they have the blower, the men's room door is always a pull open thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, come on. Let us kick it open. At least let it open out. It's terrible.
I like the ones, you know, sometimes it's like a ceramic tile hallway that you walk down and then you just hang a left and there is no door.
Yeah. Like some
stadiums
have that.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I don't have to touch anything in here.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
what it should be. Rest stops are like that too.
Yeah. Then if you pee in the urinal, you don't have to touch anything. You just walk right up and you undo your pants. You know, see if Brandon Spikes is anywhere nearby.
Sure.
Have a piss and you're out of there. A lot of times, and I'm not afraid. I wouldn't say I'm a compulsive hand washer, but I probably wash my hands more times during the day than an average person. Like, I'll just go.
I do,
I get too. I get to a restaurant. Even if I don't have to pee, I go in the bathroom and wash my hands.
Oh.
I'm a hand washer.
But I feel like the process of going into a public restroom.
I know.
Is a dirty enough process that like I try to not go as, but I wash at home and you know, Purell it. I do go a little overboard on that one.
Same. And now I've gotten to thinking, Ed, because a recent study in the Journal of Applied Microbiology, which is that on the coffee table there at your Hoboken residence?
A little light reading.
You know, just brush it out. When I get on a plane, when I go to the Hudson News and I try to grab an Esquire, a New Yorker, and if they have it, which they usually do, at the newest issue of the Journal of Applied Microbiology.
Yeah. Well, I like the cartoons.
It's got some really funny ones in the back. They have done a study, Ed, that compared how viruses disperse from the hands of users for three different drying methods. One, paper towels.
Right.
Two, standard warm air dryers. I like that one, the accelerator, that's got like a fucking turbine in it.
It's like a jet engine. That actually can get your hands dry pretty quickly. Because it's like dry. You're putting them behind an airplane. Like, it blasts your hands.
And now so-called jet dryers. So I guess the accelerator would be in among these. but it says like the Dyson model.
The Dyson one is the one where you dip your hands. You got to do this like, you know, horrible breakdancing move from the 80s.
Yes,
you're alternating your hands. It's weird.
It's like you're playing Operation, which I always sucked at. You can't touch the sides.
Yes.
You got to slide your hands right in there, and it's kind of low. You got to bend down, slide your hands right in there, and then pull them out real slowly without touching anything. Well, according to this story, Ed, there's bad news because the Dyson Airblade is basically a virus catapult.
Oh, no.
Turns out that the in terms of hand, when people wash their hands, they don't wash them good enough. So as soon as they go over to the drying area, they're bringing one thing with them, and that's bacteria. So all drying methods tend to expose you to some sort of bacteria. And the worst of all is the Dyson Airblade, Ed, which...
Because it's coming from either side.
Yeah.
Right? Those accelerators, I bet the accelerators
don't... blow straight down.
It blows straight down, so there's probably more germs on the floor.
Like right by your feet.
Well, that's fine. You're stepping on germs anyway. You're in a men's room. But it's those things that... It's just blowing it against each other. So you're just... you're putting yourself in harm's way. You're getting friendly fire.
Yeah, exactly. So when, and given the, like, sometimes there's an option, sometimes that Dyson Airblade is there, but also there's some good old fashioned, paper towels. And I don't know about you, and I'm a little bit OCD. I always grab either four. I either grab four or five paper towels, which is probably a little excessive.
That's not cool for the environment, but you shave in the shower. So
that's true. Yeah. I shave.
You're somebody who, in the shower. Brush your teeth is disgusting. Cause that's warm water.
Who cares?
Who brushes their teeth with warm water? That's maniac behavior. Seriously, I would bet serial killers, yes, we know they tortured animals as kids. I bet brushing their teeth with warm water is also a trait of serial killers.
Ed, this will shock you. I have sensitive teeth. And if the water's too cold when I brush my teeth, it hurts.
Oh, this is the worst thing I ever heard.
It causes me physical pain. I have one of those.
So essentially you use like 2 gallons of water to brush your teeth. It's crazy.
No, because I have a routine. I put the toothpaste on there outside of the shower while it's warming up. And then I have one of those Sonic, what's it called? Sonic Care. I have a Sonic Care toothbrush. It's the one that cleans your teeth with sonic waves, Ed. I put that on top of the shower. Then I get in there. Then I wash my hair. Then, as you've seen my hair, it's beautiful. So to keep my hair nice, I put some conditioner in it. When I put the conditioner in my hair, that's when I either go for the shave or the teeth brushing, or sometimes both.
That's an either or proposition. Like, well, I shaved today. Guess the teeth aren't getting brushed.
No, because I do worry that I spend too much time in there. So then also,
there's a lot of reason to worry.
I don't always take the showers at the same time of day. So I may have already brushed my teeth and I don't need to brush them again at that point. So I don't,
maybe you should stop talking for a while, champ.
I'm not 100% teeth brusher in the shower, but I do it like a couple days a week at least. And I shave. No mirror, Ed. I shave by Braille. I just get in there. I get that shit on my face. I do the Dollar Shave. Hey, Dollar Shave Club. You guys sponsor podcasts. Guess what? I use your fucking blades and you don't even pay me. Let's talk. I use those Dollar Shave Club blades, Ed. I get in there. I do my whole face and I feel. See, you hear that? Gotta get a shave tonight. Also,
wait, shave at night?
Yeah, shave it. Well, because I shower at night. I'm a night shower.
You don't shower in the morning?
No, I'm a night shower. I was always a morning shower until I had children. And then the children, you know, at first you bring home that kid and it like sleeps in your bedroom for a month or whatever. Started showering at night. And now I go to the gym in the daytime and I shower when I get home. That's my routine.
This conversation, if you started telling me that you eat people in your spare time, that would make as much sense as what's going on right now. You don't shower in the morning? Everyone in the world showers in the morning. That's how you wake up.
Everyone. Not me. I don't. I get up. You want the morning routine? I'll tell you. I get up, fancy sauce. She sleeps in because I get up pretty early.
Don't you have like bedhead? Don't you like what?
I go. I'm going to tell you right now what I do. I get up, walk over to the double sink. You know, we have like a ensuite setup, but it's not like there's no door that closes to that part of the bathroom. So I go and I turn the light on in the closet so I can see out to the sink, and I wash my face first thing. Wash my face, get the water going, get it nice and hot. Wash my face, brush my teeth, take a piss, powder up. Oh, get my hair.
You wash your face before you piss.
Well, no, I think I turn on the water, then I go piss, and then I come back, and then the water's nice and warm. Then I wash my face, get my hair all wet.
So you're just wasting water left and right.
Yeah,
just running water.
Well, I can't have cold water. I can't have cold water touch me ever, never. So then, this is a riveting podcasting, by the way, but I don't care. I'm really into it. I love this.
This is how serial killers live, everybody. This is what happens.
I come back out. I powder up, I put my pants on, and I come out, I fix my hair, I use some of my hair products, get my hair going, get that all set up, deodorant, shirt, I'm out. That's my morning. Done. Then I go have breakfast.
Sad. Really sad. Yeah.
Anybody that wants, that's why we're life coaches. Yeah,
just
here.
Keep in mind, when you get Brian's portion of the life coaching, this is a guy who doesn't shower in the morning and brushes his teeth with warm water. This is a crazy person.
Wait. Guys, weigh in on my grooming routine if you'd like.
This is batshit crazy.
mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Feel free to reach out. You can also leave me a voicemail. 949-464-TBLS. What do you think about me showering at night? What do you think about me brushing my teeth in the shower? Shaving by Braille. Like, these are all things I do. And you guys have seen me on Instagram. Pretty handsome. Like, don't look bad. Nice head of hair. Like, you know, I'm doing all right. I'm just little extra weight around the waist, you know, but I drink beer on the weekends, whatever. I'm not going to sweat that. Reach out. Ed, it is time. That might be my most favorite segment we've ever done.
Crazy.
But this next segment is going to be my new most favorite segment I've ever done. You could hear her slamming glasses down. You can hear her making all sorts of noise. Of course, I'm talking about our very own pop culture correspondent, the segment we call Fancy Pop, with our very own pop culture correspondent, Fancy Sauce. How are you doing, Fancy?
I'm okay. I have some gripes.
Hey, Kate.
Like, first of all,
yes.
Sorry to like start off bitching, but you've stolen.
Kate, what are your gripes? Do you have gripes?
First of all, I wasn't banging around, but second of all, I don't have my. You've stolen my stand for my computer.
That's right. Well, I, you know what? I have neck problems, and if I look down at the computer too long,
I think that we all know that I'm the one with the neck problem.
Bothers my neck, so I've used your stand. Kate, we've just discussed.
You know, it's a good way to solve the neck problems is take a nice hot shower in the morning.
Is Ed a shower in the morning guy?
What? Everyone is a shower in the morning guy. Everyone.
Ed is disgusted with my nighttime shower routine.
I just showered.
Yes. It is evening time right now. Kate, what is going on? You know I'm very hygienic, though, right? You can attest to my hygiene.
Yeah, you are.
Occasionally, I shave in the shower, right?
You always shave in the shower. You exclusively shave in the shower.
I have soft skin. I have sensitive skin.
I have dry throat today. It's very dry here in Southern California.
It's very hot.
It's 86 degrees or something. Yes. And super very dry.
Warm, very unseasonably warm. Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? What's the celebrity goss?
Well, okay, so I reported a while back.
Is that some type of Australian animal?
Take
like
two.
A wallaby.
I didn't know the difference between a wallaby and a what's the other one?
Dingo?
A wombat. Brian thought a wombat was a wallaby.
What is a wallaby? I have no idea.
I had to show him pictures. A wallaby is like a small kangaroo, like they hop on their hind legs. And a wombat's like a little short, stout.
A wombat's like a ground koala with like a kind of a long nose, a snout.
Yeah, but they don't have the ears like a koala. Right. They don't climb the trees.
It's a furry, like small thing.
Yeah. It's like a big rodent. Yeah. Kind of cute.
Okay. Continue.
Okay. I reported a while back when Keith Richards impersonator Johnny Depp and his wife, actress Amber Heard, were busted by Australian authorities when they failed to declare their two Yorkshire Terriers when they entered Australia last year.
Yes, we recall that. It was a big, he was filming yet another Pirates of the Caribbean.
Hold on, I have to get in Australian mode.
Yeah.
Australia's Minister of Agriculture, Barnaby Joyce, told CNN at the time, "If we start letting movie stars, even if they've been sexiest man alive twice, to come into our nation, then we don't just break the laws for everybody. It's time that Pistol and Boo buggered off back to the United States. After that, I don't expect to be invited to the opening of Pirates of the Caribbean."
Oh, wow. Barnaby Joyce, easily my favorite Australian politician, right, and the only one I can name.
But here's the story. Today, it was yesterday.
Besides Paul Hogan, the president.
Yesterday, a bizarre kind of lo-fi video of Depp and Amber Heard apologizing for their actions was released by the Australian government, Department of Agriculture and Water Resources. Ricky Gervais tweeted that it feels like a hostage video, and he is right. In the video, Heard says that she is, quote, "truly sorry that Pistol and Boo were not declared. Protecting Australia is important." Depp chimes in with the deadest of eyes, "Australians are just as unique, both warm and direct. When you disrespect Australian law, they will tell you firmly."
Australia is a wonderful island with a treasure trove of unique plants, animals, and people.
It has to be protected.
Australia is free of many pests and diseases that are commonplace around the world. That is why Australia has to have such strong biosecurity laws.
And Australians are just as unique, both warm and direct. When you disrespect Australian law, they will tell you firmly.
I am truly sorry that Pistol and Boo were not declared. Protecting Australia is important.
Declare everything when you enter Australia.
It's maybe the funniest, most uncomfortable thing I've watched in a while.
Yeah. If only.
Have you guys both seen it? I know Brian has it. Ed, have you watched this?
Johnny Depp joins us now. Johnny,
no way.
Johnny, talk about that video.
You know, this apology reminds me of the time Peter DeLuise and I had a bit too much absinthe on the Fox lot during 21 Jump Street. Actually, Peter DeLuise might have been drinking Milwaukee's Best, but I had my absinthe, and then we ravaged the craft service table. I obviously had my artisanal cheese platter, and it got out of hand. And unfortunately, I was forced to apologize to the network, and I had a hell of a time picking which scarf would show contrition. I went with fuchsia, but DeLuise argued I should have worn my orange scarf.
No, you didn't think to consult with Richard Grieco on the scarf selection, John.
Grieco was smoking cigarettes out back, so he missed the absinthe session.
He was smoking Kools.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Johnny, I was watching that video, and I couldn't help but think that I was watching a video of Johnny Depp and a person that deeply, deeply regrets being married to Johnny Depp. Any thoughts there?
You know, I try to stay youthful in spirit. I read her poetry for 3.5 hours every night before bed. And I remind her about, you know, some of my favorite artwork from Toulouse-Lautrec. You know, we have a good time. We have a good time.
Did you grow to love Toulouse-Lautrec's artwork while living in France?
Yeah, when I was in the south of France, I asked a local village boy, Pierre. I said, "Where can I get some artwork to commemorate the anniversary of Moulin Rouge?" And he brought back a handful of Toulouse-Lautrec portraits, and it's quite grand. It's quite the spectacle.
I love that it's grand, but it was a handful.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us, Johnny.
That video,
it's so off-putting.
But like, it's just the whole thing. Like, I would not accept it if I were. I don't totally understand if you were bringing in snakes or something. Like, I don't understand the dog thing, and I don't even give a shit about dogs. But it the whole rule seemed weird. But the fact that he did have to apologize. And then it was this whole smug, like, I watched it because I saw a Johnny Depp news thing, and I was like, all right, I gotta at least check this out. Yeah. But, like, it was the whole, like, the disingenuous kid in the back of class, like, sorry, like, fuck you, like, make them do it again. Make them do it on their knees next time. Fuck that guy.
Try harder.
Yeah, do it again.
Take
do it again.
Two.
I think I tweeted just afterward, that was a great video of Amber Heard, or of Johnny Depp's wife and her handsome lesbian aunt. Kate, as a woman looking at that, first of all, Johnny Depp, 52. I think this Amber Heard is in her late 20s. So he really latched onto her at a good time. But this man, he's not Brad Pitt. He's not George Clooney. This is a man that's lost his looks. Yay or nay?
I think he's on the verge of
looks a little bloated,
completely
right?
Completely gone yet?
Yes.
I like it when he tones it down.
Yes. He did have a tone down. He had a short hairstyle. He was wearing a blazer, but he was very, very pasty. Very puffy, not the usual handsome Johnny Depp we're used to seeing.
He is puffy. Is it? He's a tan.
Do you think we've considered him handsome for so long because he's been buried underneath all of those scarves?
I think that's partly it, for sure.
Unbelievable. That's very shocking. Hopefully we'll catch him on tour with the Hollywood Vampires here pretty soon and see how he's looking. But he's looking older than Alice Cooper these days.
Australia's super strict. When I fly in there and you, if I've been in Bali and I bought something like a wood artifact or something tiny, you have to declare that.
Yeah.
They find it, huge fine.
Because they don't want
bringing
you,
animals in is a big deal.
They don't want you bringing diseases
in. You
have
to have all kinds of vaccinations.
Yes.
Your animals have to be quarantined and blah, blah, blah. So yeah.
I know.
They take it seriously down there.
I have a friend that got
We don't have a lot of agricultural, like livestock diseases that the rest of the world has.
I have a friend that got in trouble for bringing some stuff into Australia.
Yeah, you do.
And that was an unfortunate situation, and he's paid his debt. Continue.
All right. Looks like the $21,000 monthly alimony checks David Hasselhoff continues to send ex-wife Pamela.
21 grand
Bach.
A month.
I mean, Baywatch was lucrative, but Jesus.
Yes.
Increasingly difficult for him to plan his retirement.
Yeah.
He's 63. He wants to be kind of like collecting all his money, seeing what he's got to live off. So he's
dude just wants to eat cheeseburgers on the floor.
Yeah.
Right. He's filing some legal documents to ask a judge to cut off the payments.
When you get divorced in the state of California, there is a line of demarcation, and that line is 10 years of marriage. If you were married for fewer than 10 years, you can be liable for alimony for roughly half the length of your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
If you are married for more than 10 years, you are liable for alimony for the rest of your life.
Is that real?
Yes.
The rest of your life?
Real. And
yes. And that is, unless the other person gets married. And that is the situation. And so you're required to pay alimony based on what you're making at the time. And this guy's a fucking high rolling. This guy's producing Baywatch. It's the biggest fucking show in the world. It's on in 100 countries or something. That doesn't last forever. I happen to know there is a Hollywood actor that I know someone who knows. And this fucking guy was super famous. He was getting 20 million.
Let me guess. Can I guess who it is?
He was getting $20 million to be in a movie. And now, and he did a trilogy, a franchise.
Also talk about
Rhymes with Dummy.
Yes. Have I told you the story before?
Yeah, you did.
Anyway.
Rhymes with Brian Grazer.
Maybe I've told the story on the show, but this guy, he doesn't work anymore. He was really young. He played a caveman once, and the guy fucking looked great. And now, but the guy got divorced. And when the guy got divorced, he was making $20 million a movie, and now he makes zero. And so he has to try to renegotiate because he pays based on $20 million a year, not $0 a year. So.
That's a tough game.
Bottom line, never get married. And if you're going to get married and you feel like you have to get divorced, kill your spouse.
Or definitely do it before 10 years.
Or yourself. Or yeah, get divorced before 10 years. Okay, Kate, what else is going on in the world of pop culture?
All right. That Michael Strahan fella,
Ed.
I just cannot and have not ever been able to get behind.
Does this guy live in New Jersey like you do, Ed?
I wouldn't be surprised if at some point he very well could. Yeah.
He did. When he was, I remember when he was getting divorced, he had a big mansion.
Yeah, the wife accused him of maybe being on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. And he,
that's right.
And this guy was out of money. He lost all his money in a divorce. He had to, he was retired or was about to retire. He had to come back and play another year in the NFL just to get some money. Well, things have turned around for this guy, huh?
Sure have. He's been Kelly Ripa's host for the past 4 years.
Which is probably about a $3 million a year gig.
I got to be honest. I didn't know who he was when he got that job.
Of course not. He's a sportsman.
I find him really inauthentic and just, I just don't get it.
People, I mean, he was, I couldn't stand him, but he was a very successful NFL player. Like he was, he was big time. Like
he's a Hall of Famer.
He came out of nowhere. He was, he was big time.
He's a Hall of Famer for sure.
He was like, he's like the modern day OJ.
But there's not a lot of,
right?
I
mean, minus the murder.
No, he's nothing like OJ. There's not a lot of,
no, I just mean in popularity, people know who he is.
And okay.
He had like a six, he's part of,
he was the star of the New York football team.
Right.
So yeah, he was
he's a defensive lineman. There's not
my point is right. Anyway,
there's not a lot of defensive linemen that become household names. O.J. Simpson's a running back. He's running for 2,000 yards. Everyone knows who he is as a player. While popular, Michael Strahan, defensive end, what isn't somebody that you see parlaying that into a career in Hollywood.
But he does.
He's really the first of his kind.
He does enjoy riding the carousel, I believe.
Oh, really?
That was the rumor.
Yeah, that is a rumor. He's had, I mean, he's done pretty well for himself.
Apparently the other morning he dropped a huge bomb.
Yeah.
When he told Kelly Ripa and their producer Gelman that he would be leaving
Michael
the show.
Gelman.
Yeah, Michael Gelman.
Speaking of diagonal sleepers.
Yeah. Mm.
Fraternally minded Gelman.
Full-time position at Good Morning America.
Yeah. He's left one of the biggest jobs in TV. For an even bigger job in TV. It's shocking.
Wait, he's leaving to go to Good Morning America?
Good Morning America.
He just announced it. He told Kelly Ripa the other day. Like as soon as he found out, he told her.
That's like one.
They didn't know, and they don't have any replacement.
That's one of the four or five biggest jobs in television.
That's crazy.
It's shocking. It's really, I'm really shocked by it. People love him. He doesn't do it for me. Okay. Continue. So, good luck to him.
Yeah, I wonder who will end up replacing him.
Yeah, interesting.
I'm a big Kelly Ripa fan. I hope it's somebody that she deserves.
Because
I just was not feeling it with that guy.
I'm a massive, massive fan. I was already a fan of Kelly Ripa.
Yeah.
And then she did that guest spot on Broad
City. Awesome.
And now I'm like in love with her.
It was really great.
And she her husband.
I have given her my autograph when I was in college.
Yeah. What?
I got drunk one time. Autograph? I got drunk one time and she was on All My Children, I think, or one of these.
Yeah.
And so they were promoting soap operas on a college campus. So in college, there was just some hot blonde chick sitting there right like near the stadium of a football game. I was like a freshman in college, sophomore in college. And so I was hammered and I walked up and I was like, hey, let me autograph a picture for you. She's like, oh, okay.
That's great.
And I did that. And then she signed our autograph. I still have an autograph of Kelly Ripa from like 1995.
Smooth
Ed Daily there.
Super
everybody.
Young. She was probably like 25 at the time.
I mean, she did call me Special Ed on the thing.
Wow.
Great.
Well, that's a pretty strong rap on your part, Ed. I didn't know you had it.
Well, I was shit-faced.
Okay, that makes sense. It's always a little bit easier. What else, Kate?
So, I guess Iggy Azalea wants her privacy about her relationship status with Nick Young after the whole video scandal, even though she's gone around and talked ad nauseum about it. She tweeted on Monday, "We are together and I would love to be given a lot of privacy on the matter."
Privacy. So, she probably said privacy.
Yeah. She's incredulous. The media have showcased her bare ring finger, a finger that had recently sported a huge engagement ring until this cheating allegation surfaced. She also went on Ellen and a bunch of radio shows talking endlessly about the scandal, threatening to cut Nick's penis off, showing off her ring and on. But now she can't believe that everyone won't stop talking about it.
I wonder.
I hate it when people do this.
Yeah. I wonder if she were to cut his penis off, like what kind of implement she would use. Would she need like an axe, like Paul Bunyan's axe?
Or like, he's in the NBA, like so I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like 6 feet.
A substantial hatchet.
Yeah, I mean, it probably wouldn't be too easy. I read something, Kate, and Kate, you'll be the best to answer this. Mm-hmm. I read something, I think it might have been today or yesterday, that Iggy Azalea was quoted as saying she does not like shrimp.
And yes, she, that's
as,
right.
As an Australian, should she lose her citizenship?
Immediately.
What is she going to put on the Barbie?
On the Barbie. Yes. Yeah,
actually, immediately. I have at all times.
Prawns.
I at all times have some frozen shrimp in the freezer.
Of course.
I have some right now.
Of course. Prawns.
Some prawns.
Wow. Well, let's hope they work it out. Nick Young.
I don't really care. Yeah.
I'm surprised that they seem like they had what it takes.
I thought that one was going to go the distance.
What else?
Is that it?
Well, we got bashed. I mean, if you're on the internet or social media, you've been bashed over the head by Coachella this past weekend.
Yeah.
Where actually is it? I mean, I know it's existing, but
it's about an hour and a half east of the coast where we live, in the desert.
So it's just like
in a place called India.
You drive like you're going to Palm Springs, and instead of turning off to Palm Springs off the 10 freeway, you just drive like half an hour.
Mm. Yeah.
Just Coachella out in the middle
Valley,
of the desert.
It's called.
Yeah.
And so, it takes place on some huge polo fields out there.
So what popped off besides everybody's serotonin levels because they were on so much MDMA?
Yeah, I mean, I perused all the pictures, all the celebrity that were out there. And
Taylor Swift was there pretending to be interested.
Yeah, like watching her boyfriend do his set with that
Love Face. None of the bands I like played.
No.
Dinosaur Jr.
You're not a big Guns N' Roses fan.
I mean, I was 20 years ago.
Run the Jewels, Killer Mike, who's been campaigning for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, he feels the burn.
Yeah, Bernie introduced Run the Jewels in a
That's pretty cool.
Video.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool.
Bernie gets it.
Yeah.
And I'm giving cheesiest Coachella festival vibes outfits celebrity couple award to Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom.
Oh, really?
They're just so trash.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I saw her in person, maybe it would change, but I'm just not a fan. Like, I think overrated.
Katy Perry?
Yeah.
I agree.
Too. She's a bit cartoonish. She dresses like shit.
I just wish, for someone of her great talents, I wish she would, you know, play up her tits because I think that could help her a little bit.
She's got big titties, which they're probably implants. So there's like no win there. Also, she seems like I'm not taking anything away from her. I'm happy to let her have her career, but she seems like kind of like a bigger girl to me. Like
that's all right.
Broad shoulders. That's just not my thing.
You got to have all shapes and sizes represented.
I like a petite woman.
And on that note, I reckon we should wrap things up.
With strong upper body strength.
ASAP.
And a round bottom. Okay. Excellent job. As always, Kate.
Thanks, guys.
Ed Daly. Well done.
It was nice. It was excellent today. I think we were all just really we're doing great work for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For free.
The Lord's work. That's exactly right.
That's right.
Excellent job. All the way around.
Proud of us.
I really appreciate everything that we've done. Hats off to me. Hats off to Ed Daly and hats off to Kate McMahon.
Of course.
Join us again next week for episode 117. This has been episode 116 for Ed Daly, for Kate McManus. I'm Brian Beckner. This has been the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Peace out.